Welcome to the Holy Spirit's Curriculum of Joy podcast. My name is Wanika Oberhuber, and I'm your host. My guest today is my mom, Marianne Diepknecht. Hi.
Hi.
So, such a pleasure to have you here and to be able to ask you questions and learn from you. So I'd like to start with a big question that I like to ask all of my guests, and I'll ask you as well, even if you're my mom. How did you come to see the world the way you do today?
This is a big question. I think my life is long enough that I can have a kind of picture of whatever has happened since many years. What happens? Yeah, I have a perspective on look at things positively and negatively, and want to be very constructive about what I say. So I was born in France. I was born during the war, and I think that I have been in many different places where I lived. First in France, then in America, in Austria. These were the three places where I have spent quite a bit of time. And it was really fascinating, different cultures to meet, different people of cultures to meet, to see how people are different in the different countries. And now, I can say that I'm a person who is very multi-interested. Many things are, there's hardly anything that does not interest me. So the way my life went is that I have four children. They have taught me quite a bit. I have the experience. My children were in a Waldorf school that was also giving me a lot of new insights. I am a dancer, so everything that has to do with health and is very important to me. Also breathing, and also I have grown with the parents who absolutely love nature. So I have been a lot of different places and in nature, and this is very important to me, that I want to be as much as possible in harmony with nature. I can see with a lot of sadness what has happened. When I was a child, my father and I, we went and caught butterflies. Now there are so many butterflies, much less insects. All kinds of things have changed drastically. And yeah, it is. So my big interest is to really be very constructive about whatever I do, every single gesture or thing that I do is very much has to do with reducing my imprint in nature. This is a very primer aim, so that I want to reduce my use in water, in when I have started since many years to do I initiated a project which was very much influenced by permaculture. And permaculture is a kind of philosophy also, and a method of being in harmony with nature, but also having very insights about the mystery of nature. The beauty of it is also part of what I love so much as an artist. When I get into a room, I see the beauty, not everything else. I forget. And it's very important to me that my life is devoted to things that make sense, that have an ethic to it. And humanness is also very important. Now I don't know the name, Friede, peace is very important, and as well my own peace, inner peace, as the peace outside. And more I find out that in my family, for many centuries, there have been an aim to bring peace to this world. And for some reason, when I was younger, I was not seeing it so much. But now, it has been a very big emphasis in my life, as well in myself, in my family, with other people. When one works on a project, it's very important to find the best way to be together and to be constructive, doing things together and respecting whoever. I love also the creativity of people, and it's always enriches me to discover or to ask people about what is really essential in their lives. And the construction of a better future, a good future, is very important to me. So I don't know what else to say, but these are essential things that are in me. And I'm constantly thinking, how can we do things better than before?
Yeah, well, you spoke of inner peace, and that's a focus of A Course in Miracles. How do you get deeper into your inner peace? What do you do, or how do you convey that with people? What happens?
Well, it is a big... an emphasis which has been taking many years in me to really find out about myself. How can I get in touch with my inner self? I spend a lot of time to think how actually, how do you say, gewissen?
Conscience.
my consciousness, yeah, my conscience, how can I be in peace with my conscience, and this is my biggest, my biggest emphasis, to find inner peace, to find that when I do something that I don't like, that I find it's not right, I always will think a lot about it and try to make it good again or to find a solution. So my approach to myself and to other people is to really find the equilibrium between things, whether it's in nature or in people, that we can find out what is most positive for all of us. It is a matter of working at myself, of thinking I am not specially looking for help. I think I have in myself a lot that helps me, because I believe in my instinct, in my feelings, because to get help from other things, I am not. Maybe some people really influence me towards positiveness, towards humanness, and that I love. I when I meet someone, I think their humanness is the most important factor. I always see what are they looking only at themselves, or are they respecting the others? It's not that I want to judge, but for myself, I want to see who is an example for me, who is somebody I would really not like to do the same things as they do. So that's about the way I am.
Yeah, well, that there's a lot to pick up there. You probably have a long history of getting to know people, working with them, encouraging them to provide their best, and so on. So how do you do all of that?
Well, this is a process to get to know somebody, to appreciate what their inner wish is, what is in them that they would like to bring up. And it's very fascinating, because everybody has something that is very important to them, but it's very difficult for many of them, of people, to really discover what their most precious original thing that they have to bring about in the world or amongst others. It's not always clear, especially when one is young. And I think it's very important that we all support each other in the best that we can do, in the highest way, that is, of course, an act of love also. When one is interested in other people, it's the beauty of the other people that I love to discover. And this is a long process. I always try to, this is my first way of meeting a person, to see what they are all about, what they love, what is their precious self. And this is the first approach. And then the next is, what do we have? What is Verbindung? What is in common? And I want to do it in a very broad way, because we have many, many groups, many people who want a change. How should it be? And there are really feeling that we can do, all of us or many of us can do things in their own area. And then there are people who can do other things, but in a much larger scale. And definitely one of the beginnings is to do things around us, which are really being in peace with their neighbors, with their friends and so forth. It is work. It is time to really, one needs time. And one of the difficult things nowadays is that many people have so much stress in their lives that they don't have much time for to spend on what is most important, their humanness. And yes, this is very important to me, another way.
Yeah, and how do you give the people an example through what you do?
Actually, I'm just myself, and many people say, oh, you really do what you really want. And several people have been saying to me, well, you are my example. I want to be so when I'm so old, as old with you. I want to be like you are. And I don't know. And many details of my life that I'm not interested in much comfort. I'm not interested in money or things that are, for me, not necessary. I really love to be in a beautiful environment, in nature, and to enjoy whatever is for me good. I really want also for myself to have a good life and to enjoy this life. So my example is for many, not many, but the people that are interested in a simple life, they like to learn from me or to hear from me, whatever they would like to achieve also in their life. And I hear, of course, from other people what they do to have a more harmonious life. And this is has to do with communication with other people.
When do people open up to you? When do they tell you what their deepest joys and their strengths are and so on? Because you were speaking about how important that is for you to get to know them, to discover their gems, their things. Why would they open up to you and share that with you?
Well, this is very simple, because people need to be heard, need to feel that one is interested in what they are about. That's the best way. If one asks questions, if they open up as they feel comfortable, as they feel understood. So the next step for me is to say, oh, do you think this or that would be for you? Or what do you think about that? And so forth, and a dialogue and happens, which is very beautiful, because as we go, there's a process of, in a way, of growth, you know, because we are helping each other. I discover new things that I may not have thought of, and they discover other things when I ask questions and my interests. And I love to then make connections between people so that, and I think creativity is something that I'm really not so bad at. And life is a creative process. And when we help each other, you know, it's the best way to enjoy our lives.
And of course, in Miracles, it says that we are walking each other home. How do you feel about that?
What is my home? What is our home? I guess it's very individual amongst people what they find what their home is. For me, it's my consciousness. It's my aim, which leads me all the time.
So your home is not your body.
This is a big thing, yeah. No, I love my body, that I have to say. But the direction in which I go does not only come from my body, although my body, my breathing is bringing me to higher kind of insights, which has been astonishing. And so the unity between my body and my spirit is very, very important to me. I want to be one. And whenever my body says something, my soul says something, and it does not fit with my body, then my body reacts, and I have to listen to it. And it's many times that I, more and more, I realize if there is a disconnection. And I see, when I watch people and see their body, I think I don't have to speak about them, but I feel something. And it's very important to me too. It makes me reflect about myself, things that I wouldn't want to do or I would want to do.
So you speak about home as your goals, your conscience, your consciousness, about the experience of something that gives you the feeling of who you are, right? And so if we're walking each other home, you're talking with people about what is important to them and so on, would be something that is walking each other home in the sense that they are discovering more about about being at home with themselves or with the world or with whatever that they experience. And of course, in Miracles, home is heaven, right? So it's where everyone and all is perfectly happy. And according to A Course in Miracles, that is something that is already the case. So it's a remembering of that. What are your reflections on that?
I always think that we are all capable of reaching our ideals, an ideal state. We are in steps, we can grow to a more ideal state. And whichever level we are on, definitely it's important that we have a very love-oriented life so that we can achieve things beyond what we would have thought of. The reaching complete happiness is for me because I think that we have two sides of us, and to bring them in balance and to grow to something better is a long process during the life. For some people it's easier, for others it's not so. But I do not think that there is something beyond me that, how can I say, like a God or whatever it is, creator, is not part of me, because I personally think of the totality of the world, you know, of everything that surrounds me. And that's very important to be, as I say, ganzheitlich, how do you say that?
Holistic.
Yeah, to have a holistic way of the world, which means that everything is connected with everything. And it means that one respects all the transformations, one sees all the transformations that takes place in the world, all the cosmic influences, that one has a whole perspective of this world where we are in. And this is, I think it's very important that we don't think that we can, as human beings, act the way we want, the way we would like it, because we want to make fruits better, we want to make many things better. But I think that if we are not in harmony with the order of the world, it can very easily be completely destructive. And these are the forces that we want to control as human beings, that are not going in the right direction. It is not bringing us further. We have to watch out about perspective in life, which is very materialistic and which does not take care of all the of the whole thing, of the whole world. It is, and also, of course, we have to realize that we don't even, it is a mystery, this whole world. It is so big. And we, as human, we can only observe as much as we possible. And we can, I like the world. We are guests on this earth, and we are not the ones that can say how the world order is.
And of course, in Miracles, it speaks that we got into this predicament by thinking we could do better than our creator, than who we are. But we can't be better than who we are. So this got us into a conflict that created this experience of separation, right? Because that is a separating thought. And I think you were expressing that changing our perspective and joining rather than trying to do better than, but seeing things as completely capable already as it is changes everything. So would you like to expand on that?
Expand on the fact that we cannot be in control of this gigantic mystery that surrounds us. We can only respect it, work with it, without wanting to change it. And this is already quite a big endeavor for all of us, because we are so removed from the original way of life. I hope we will be able to see how we can best integrate in the whole world, in the whole world, how we fit in there in a way that we are just belonging to it, that people get a sense that they are part of this, this creation, and we all have to have enough space. This is a big problem. We are taking the space of the animals. We are taking the space of the plants. They disappear. It is a tragic state in which we are. And it is very bedrohlich. It's very
scary.
It can be very scary. And of course, scare is not a good state. What we have to do is to say, I do what I can. I feel responsible for whatever happens. And I want to act upon it in a way that we have more harmony. And it depends on the direction of the philosophy, on the thoughts that we have, in order to come back to a very healthy, and there we can find some help in the indigenous organizations or groups, you know, which have been this for many, many years. And they have this close connection with the whole. And they know when they take too much of a resource and don't leave enough so that it can regenerate itself, they are in danger. And it's the same in many other ways, you know, so we have to watch out not to have too many things that we should not be so many. I agree with that, but to reduce the amount of humans with so much light, so much
struggle.
Pain and struggle is not the solution. The solution is really that people realize and work all together to very constructive ways of healing ourselves and the world.
Yeah, this is a very big topic to unpack. When we think of everyone as holy and whole, and is has their special function according to a course. That's the way A Course in Miracles words it. Everyone has their special function, so everyone has all the space they need to thrive. And so how do we unpack that in our experience? Because we tend to reduce that and say we don't have the space, we can't live the lives that we are meant to live, we cannot be who we are, we cannot respect who we are because there's so many demands on us and this and that. How do you support people in that process?
I initiated a group of people, or what is a project, which means life's worth, or how do you say Lebenswert, Gemeinschaft. So, as a
qualitative lives community or something like that.
Yeah,
might be a grand translation.
Yeah, and there are many people who
are quality lives
want to change their lives in a way that it has a meaning, a deep meaning. And I can see, in order to really do what one would like to do, it's not always easy. One needs courage. One needs to stand to one's own beliefs, and to stand to beliefs that are good for the whole world, I mean, for all of us and for the world. And this demands not only time, but real courage. And several people I meet are completely changing their lives. They don't want to have the same work, the same job. They take out their children when they see that their children are in danger of because of all the things that have been lately, because of Corona, we are forced, and this is something that is very, for people who really have the courage to leave a kind of situation where they are forced and they cannot freely. So one of the things that really people need or would like to have is their freedom to decide what they want in their lives. It's very important. And we are in a time where it's getting more and more difficult. And I see, I see changes. And it's the freedom of the people to see what is good for them, also for the community. And how can they escape to be forced to do things that they really don't agree with? So many times it's a chance when people realize that they can do something, but it is very hard. But it gives them a chance to change. The same thing when people are ill and they would have they realize that they could really change something in their lives that would make them healthy, and that they realize that it's not just the responsibility of a doctor or of medicine, but they have to take care of their own lives and the way they lead it. It demands a lot of courage.
Yeah, it's certainly something that many people are not used to, right? To making their own choices and coming from a place of knowing or even daring to follow inner guidance. And no matter what you call inner guidance, and of course the miracles, the positive or the guidance that helps you to remember who you are is called the Holy Spirit. But that's not the point. The point is, what is, how do you grasp it? How do you open up to that? How do you let that in into your lives so that you can actually walk a path in which you are remembering who you are and therefore in greater harmony with your experience?
So you're asking me how I, for myself, I can see when I'm forced to do something that it makes me sick or that I just cannot bear it, because I have been quite having a use where I could do a lot that I loved and that made me comfortable. For other people, they need, it's very helpful, it has been to me too, to see examples from people who really stand for the what they believe, that there is really harmony can only exist if we are ethical people, if we believe on something that is constructive and not drawing us down, that there is an equilibrium, I think. And for me, it's really like I love to be constructive, and anything where I see it doesn't lead to peace, it doesn't lead to something where we can grow, then I just don't want to be part of it. In the contrary, I want to be active, to really foster what is creative in us, what is leading us to a high goal. And okay, my parents, they didn't like me when I said something higher. I don't mean that it's something that I look to like that, but it's something that I want to strive in me, because I feel that it does me good. And it does good to other people. And this kind of state of is really, one has to want it or one doesn't see the quality of it, you know. It depends. Many people want to have profit, want to do something, whatever it does to nature or to other people. And I don't know when that can be changed, but all the people who want to change, they have a chance now to get together and to have similar goals for the future, for now, in the future.
Yeah, there's a lot to that, because there's a tendency to, when you decide, okay, this isn't good in my life, this is something I don't like, right, to start feeling unfairly treated and to guilt trip others and oneself. How do you proceed and let that go? Because that's all about forgiveness. And A Course in Miracles is all about forgiveness, remembering who we are, and the letting go of judgment. And judgment is a sense of guilt, feeling guilty or making others guilty in your mind. How do you proceed so that can be let go? Because otherwise you start attacking each other or yourself, or in other ways, that's what brought you to the place in the first place where you were unhappy. So how do you let go of that so that you can actually proceed in love and peace and joy and allow that to be a presence in your life, because in A Course in Miracles, it speaks of removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's that inner guidance we were speaking of before. That's what it does. It's not our job, it's that guidance's job to do that, but we need to be aware that there is a block there, to let that inner guidance to show us how to let go, to remove that, right? And so how do you proceed in that way? Because I'm sure you've seen how many people get bitter, unhappy, start attacking, getting mad at the world, at themselves, and then blocking themselves in making any steps that would lead to greater happiness in their experience, in their lives.
It is a very complex matter, because one has to go back to the way people were born, the way what they had to deal with as a baby, as a child, when they grew, lots of light, lots of pain they have gone through. And many times one sees that a person who has been maltreated, for instance, in their childhood, or didn't have a father, or didn't have, they have to go through a lot of personal healing before they can take care of all the other matters in their lives and in the world. So this process is, I think we are in a time when there are people who really help, you know, those people who really have so much to deal with. For instance, I met a woman, she helps families where the children have been taken away from them. And she said it is so rewarding for her to help in a way that they respect the people, but they show them how they could do differently. And I think it's really a matter of giving examples, of saying all many times, look, you're doing it this way, what about doing it that way? And that way means that one gets out of the judgment, one gets, and for that, one has to give love to those people. One has to give them respect. One has to sort of give them an awareness of what could function better and what does not work, you know. It is, but we are all not all so traumatized. Other people, they have just a way of life that they want to have a car, that they want to have a lot of things, and that it makes for them, that is luck, or that is glück, that is happiness or joy. So there are a lot of different perspectives from people and potentials in people to go back to their inner feelings and their feeling of love, of respect, and their feeling of I am self-motivated. I'm not anymore, how do you say, fremd-motivated.
Well, and there is this expression of people pleasing. So you don't need to please people anymore, right? Other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. One feels comfortable when many people say, let's do that. This is the way. This is the way. And then one has to watch out, because what is the way, you know? How can I get in a way that is really respecting some kind of harmony, some kind of peace? And this is not always, evident to people. It takes many years to get to this. I have not always been the way I am. I was always judging. And when I was about 50 years old, I certainly said to my children, I had moments where I was like a fury and I hated everything. And suddenly I realized, actually, this is a time when I was to have to be quiet, when I need to be by myself, when I need to say to my children, look, I'm not feeling good. Let me be by myself. And they understood. And we have sometimes, you know, when one is so emotional and one hates everything, and to be able to say, well, I need quiet and I need to be by myself and realize why am I so? What has been really the the motor that brought me that way? I have to go back. And many times it was because I had done some things that I felt horrible about, and I needed to sort of reconstruct something inside me. And that's the way that you go back to your inner self. This is an incredible miracle that we have a consciousness, that we have feelings. This is incredible. I am in awe of it.
Yeah, and that you can find peace discover peace in the midst of all of that turmoil, right?
Yeah.
Is really a miracle. And that's why it says there's this presence of love is always there, right? But to allow it to be removed, the blocks to it to be removed, that's what I guess what you were saying. I need time to allow those blocks to be removed, right? But continuing in the rut of listening to all this anger, this despair, this whatever else was there, right? This guilt and so on. Yeah, Sabina wanted to say something. Sabina, you know we're recording, so if you say something, it could be published. So you have to be comfortable with that. So if you want to say something, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask Marianne about exactly what she was just describing about forgiveness and positivity in your life, despite everything what has happened, and what the role of your mother was in developing this quality you just described and this inner strength, because I had the great, great pleasure and the privilege to meet her when she was about your age. And I think she was, despite everything that happened to her and to her family, she was never resentful, she was never judging, she was always loving and always positive and full of joy. And I was just curious how this incredible example she gave also shaped you.
That's a wonderful question, Sabina. I think you will ponder a little and answer, huh?
Should I answer you?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you too, huh? Well, what keeps me happy is, of course, when I do things that I really feel so comfortable that has helped somebody or that has helped nature or whatever, and I do many of that. But the fact that I'm older now, and the more I realize what happened in my family, I'm in the fourth generation that has been doing everything they could to that there would be no war, that there would be a fairness in the world, and that everybody should have a good life, should be able to have a good life. That is I don't know why, but it's very anchored in me, even though I never met my grandfather. My father was also human, a very human person, but he was doing his own work as an artist. And for me, the example of that, my family apparently stays anchored in me or something, or comes out in my age, you know. Before I had the family to take care of. I was not so involved in wanting to make a change. And I guess that makes happy to be in peace with oneself, you know. That makes really happy to do things that one loves, that are important to ourselves, to do things that help other people. All of this together, yeah. I think happiness is really inside you when you can live your life fully, when you can do things where you really think that is so positive to the around you. This is what can make you happy. On the other hand, one has also to realize that there's a lot to do to grow, to make things grow and so forth. And that makes me gives me lots of energy to be there. And I know I have many projects. I am multi-sided, you know. I started to sing at birth, you know, for two of my children. And Wanako is the one also when I sang during the birth. And many other things have occurred to me. I'm lucky to have had all of these experiences with handwork. And now I'm trying to foster handwork with all kinds of things which help people or which are part of things that people love to do and which are not much anchored in the regular life.
It's not handwork, that's the direct translation from German. It's what trades, you know, the trades, the original trades like carpentry and so on. But handwork as well, of course. Handwork in English is just the stuff like knitting and crocheting.
That's
and
true. So yeah, I have made it. Yeah.
So you mean the trades as
well.
Yeah. So yeah, to speak about my grandma, yeah, she certainly must have made a conscious choice to love people. And she made that choice again and again, even when there were things that could have led to her distrusting people or stopping to love them. So that obviously was a conscious choice of her, and she chose that in the light of what she had experienced, which, as we all know, she went through the war and had all these horrible experiences. But she always, even in those experiences, found connection to people. In all her stories, I could tell she had found connection. She had established loving connections that were enabled her and her family to move through there and actually live a good life, because she did discover in her lovingness, she was always helping people throughout. She was also helped by others, and I think she really chose consciously to trust in humanity. Yeah, and so I think that's how she imbued that example in all of us, that there is the possibility of choosing to trust one another Yeah, and that one can do that consciously and doesn't have to take the slights or all these types of things that happen as a proof that you can't trust one another, but to choose to trust and make choices in that direction. I don't know what you think about that.
Well, one of the incredible experiences that I had yesterday was I was confronted with a big emotional and I had the feeling, oh, should I leave? And then suddenly it would occur to me, no, I'm going to the person who is emotionally in a horrible state and say, how are you doing? And then the person realized suddenly, well, I am really grungy today. It's really bad. But it was so funny because it was the first time that usually I would just leave or not say much. But then I had the feeling she needs again attention. She needs to get helped, you know, in whatever she needs. And that person then, it made her an incredible, a nice effect, you know, because I felt connected again. You know, we felt connected. And that's all it needs sometimes, you know, to just say, how are you doing? What is the matter? I had a friend, her children were, that was in America still when I was there, her children would fight. And it was so important to her to bring peace that when we were in a car, she would stop the car and ask each child, what is the matter? What is happening? What do you want? And so forth, many questions. And then the peace was reestablished. And I think we can do it in almost any situation when people are responsible for their own, you know. When people are just directed from other people, then it's more difficult.
I think that grandma gave us really strong examples of how she really was willing to step in when there was conflict as well. Yeah. So I think that's a beautiful example of how that comes into your life and how you discover that you can actually walk towards rather than away from people.
Yeah.
In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of whatever is going on, there always is the option to choose to trust, choose to walk towards.
I have a very nice, a wonderful example of my grandfather. I haven't lived through it, but I was told he was fighting. I don't like the word fighting. I'm really trying. He said he was totally against the First World War and he did everything he could to avoid it by not voting for the finances for the First War. And he was the only one in the parliament who did that. And he was then many times brought into prison. And then they decided they would bring him to the war, you know, as a soldier in the most dangerous areas. And then what happens was that he was constantly saying, I am not shooting to anybody. I am not going to be killing people. And what happened is that his example was so strong that the others, you know, became motivated not to shoot, you know, at others. And then they took him away from the place because they thought it was better he would be back not fighting. But it's an interesting example of how you, with your moral stance, you know, how one can really act upon the other people who haven't realized that this is possible.
I hope that answers your question, Sabine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's go into some other subjects and see. So you spoke about singing at birth and how that transformed your experience of the birthing process. Would you like to share a little bit why that helped and what that changed in your experience and how that could be helpful for prospective mothers or people who are in the process of moving towards birthing?
I love to sing, I love to dance, I love to do many other things, but the love for singing has remained until now. And at the time when I was expecting, it was my first child. I was, as an artist, dancing and singing on stage and making experiments with my voice. And somehow I must have heard people had music at their home births. And that inspired me. And I thought, well, I want to sing and I will sing my favorite song, which was at the time Summertime from Gershwin. And really, when the time came, I did some experiments or some tryouts to breathe very deeply, I had examples in yoga. They call it pranayama, and it was very powerful to me. And somehow it was interesting because when I was in the birth process, I think my partner was, I remember I was singing, and when it became really intensive, I almost forgot about the singing. And then my partner reminded me that I could not sing. And then it was so helpful through the whole process of giving birth. And I became really aware that it was a very natural process. And that, yeah, and then I started writing on and giving workshops for pregnant women. And some examples, some women did it also at birth, and then at birth, and then they used the song that they had at birth, which was very something what they loved especially. They sang it each year to the birthday of their child, which was very wonderful. So I wrote also to tell other people, and I sent it to a magazine, and the magazine was not interested because it was not scientific. So I realized what is science and what is experimenting with your life. So it was interesting, and so that was the final sort of things that I did.
It's a little strange to say it's not scientific. It wasn't research done by someone who studied and had a scientific background, but it was an experiential account and support of people who want to do the same, right? And if you want to go in deeper into it, there are cultures which have the women, for instance, I just read about it, you know, would have a song that they developed before they even conceived a child for that child. And that would be sung at birth and at every birthday and every time a person forgot who they were, their strengths, it would be sung. That's what I read anyways. I haven't checked it myself. But anyways, there are traditions with singing. So I guess they would have taken it more scientifically if it had cultural comparisons and seen other examples of it and then compared notes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that wasn't scientific. It was just one account, right?
Yeah.
And then examples from people who had followed up on that from your workshops and so on. So to say that magazine probably could have made a different choice about it and put someone up to interviewing you and finding out more things and then got it onto their magazine if they had been interested. So don't give up. If you had wanted to submit it to other magazines and so on, there probably would have been one which would have said yes, right? But we don't know. But I think it's great that you submitted it to a magazine and attempted to share your knowledge and your experience with
them. Yeah, I wrote it. Yeah, down. Yeah. How old are you?
Why do you want to know my age?
No, because it's that time. How long that time is ago?
It's a long time ago. Let's just put it that way. Okay. Yeah, so that's a beautiful thing that you were supporting people to sing at birth. But what I wanted to know is, what change did it make for you? Was birth more joyful? Did you have some different experience than in the previous births where you didn't sing at birth? What was different?
Well, the difference was that I was home. I was not in hospital. When I gave birth 50 more years ago, I was in hospital. They put me in a room where I was all alone. I could not speak to anybody. I couldn't even walk or prepare myself. Like when I was free to walk and to be in nature and to, so the next birth which I had, which was also in the hospital, the doctor who wanted to go for Christmas on vacation, I came to the birthing place, and right away the person who was in charge came with an injection. I said, no, I don't want an injection. What for? And she said, to make it quicker, you know, the birth process. I said, no way. I went back home and I waited until I felt that I was more ready. And then I experienced a horrible thing, which was that the doctor was there. He was replacing another doctor, and he tried everything to press so that I would give birth. And finally, I think he cut me also, which I wanted to avoid from the first time, where they cut, you know, routinely. They did cut routinely. And so these were two experiences which were really bad. So I wanted to have give birth at home. And the perspective also of normal medicine, the way they look at a very natural way to give birth, is absolutely something that is very, can be very traumatic to the children, the babies, and even the women. So my perspective on birth is really totally changed.
Yeah, well, it wasn't a cesarean, but it was still cutting you, right?
Yeah, it was not a cesarean is one other aspect of it, because I hear that in America, doctors make lots of money to do cesarean, and the body of the women are in it is bad to have a, how do you call it, a wound, you know,
a wound,
you know. I still feel it, this wound that they did in cutting me. And the women who have had a cesarean, the back, the lower belly, you know, is affected. And I think it really helps to work with nature and with what, with one health. That's another point.
Yeah, what you're encouraging is to make one's own choices, right, about one's health, and not to leave it up just to the professionals, but to actually ask questions and make your own choices, right? And I think it sounds like you were very courageous to say, no, I'm going home again and waiting for it to come, right? So, yeah, but I wanted to know, what was it like to sing during the birth process? Because, you know, the birth process, at least as far as we hear about it and experience it, is, can be very painful, right? Even though it's a joyful event, at least in our thinking, usually. How did that change that experience from this idea? Yeah, you said it was a contrast, the hospital and then at home, but the singing must have added to that. Did it make you feel more at home or more at ease, or did it change the pain? Did it transform the pain, or was the pain the same, or what happened there?
Well, deep breathing is something that you can also implement in your life, because when you breathe deeply, many times it's because you do a very sportsy, intensive movement. And through dance, of course, I have seen that one can, through the deep breathing, reach all parts of the body. And it gives loads of energy. I am still developing, you know, a method of dancing where the center of the body, where you start your breathing, is absolutely essential to give you, is a motor to give you energy in all your personality, because it's this dance that you have the security of really standing on your own, and it gives so much energy. I can say that it would be very urgent for many people to discover the power they have in the center of their body. And that makes the difference. It gives you energy, you don't have a pain, or the pain is not so essential, because your entire body is, how do you call it, alimented, you know, because the breathing is the nurtures the bloodstream, and it is an energetic thing, you know, to sing. Singing is that also, because when you sing, you breathe deeper. You can, if you are aware of where to take the initial of the breathing.
Yeah, so the ability to breathe deeper allowed you to have a smoother experience, and the singing just made it easier because you were focused on bringing forth sounds, right? And if you had to consciously go, you preferred to concentrate on a beautiful melody or on something that, and then it automatically, you were breathing deeper. And yeah, so the experience was smoother. So I guess it's a more pleasant way of inducing the deep breathing. Yeah. That than if you have to consciously deep breathe.
It's also so much more beautiful. Mm. It was a little bit like, for me, it was like the wave. I called it the wave of birds. It was like a wave, you know, that goes down and then up, and then goes down and then up. And it was just very alive, very, and the beauty of it, the rhythm of it was like a bell, you know, ringing.
What did you say to the women when they asked about it? And they have partners, right? Often the partner can be there, the husband or the partner or whoever. Would you suggest that they sing along?
It could be, it depends how the partner feels, you know, and how the woman feels. Some women, they want to be left alone. Other women, they love when their partner is there. I liked it too. And every birth is different. Every birth is a real creative process, which is amazing, completely amazing.
Yeah, that's remarkable. To be aware of how every birth is unique.
Yeah.
And as we say in A Course in Miracles, it speaks of the special function. So everyone is unique because of their special function, not because they are special. Because we are all equal. We are all infinitely valuable in the mind of God, according to the words of A Course in Miracles. So this birth process is also infinitely valuable, right? If we are infinitely valuable, all our experiences are infinitely valuable. So if, as I understand, you've grown a lot over life and seeing other people differently. You've changed your mind about people. Because if you're able to ask, how are you, rather than go back and go, wow, you are so mean, you're not. So, yeah, what a beautiful way to put it. So with all your activity for peace and all this history of people in your family, in our family, better said, who have been going for peace and promoting peace in the world and in themselves, how is that driving your present experience?
You mean the
this need, wanting to become more peaceful within and without, that has changed your perspective on everything, right? And how that is developing at this present moment. I mean, you gave an example of how you were able to ask, how are you, instead of joining in the anger and the resentment and whatever was going on there. What else has it changed, or what do you think it will change in your perspective as you move forward in your life?
I must say that I have still some ways to grow, to be more flexible towards other people's experiences and ways, because I want to bring about projects which construct and where we are all a team, because it is very important in a project to work as a team. And this is one of the most difficult things, I guess, to really be in. A project should be a synthesis. Do you say that of English? Synthesis?
I think so.
Synthesis? Okay. Synthesis. And I have always these pictures when people would all acknowledge the creativity of all the others, we would have a great, great world, a different one. And this is something which I love to express, because it's a hope and a wish.
Yeah, so the walking each other home comes back, we're coming back to that, right? And when we actually are willing to let go of our judgments and open up to what our, and the Course in Miracles one says, our sibling, right, our brother, what they are actually there sharing, right? And in A Course in Miracles it says we all are one, right? We are love. Our essential, our nature is love. So when you see that in each other, it allows this opening up, right? It allows the seeing each other differently. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is this idea that there is another way. That's something that you always shared with us as children as well, that when we wanted to do something, if it didn't work one way, there is another way. You can come up with something else. And this is one of the basics, I think, in creativity and in art as well. If one way doesn't work, there's certainly to be another, right?
Well, this is it.
And to allow that to come into your awareness, that there is another way. And A Course in Miracles also was founded from this idea. The person who wrote it and the person who supported that, they were confronted with conflict in their department. They were two psychologists, and they were constantly having conflict in that department. And so the boss, which was the one who supported the lady when she wrote it later, he was saying, gave this impassioned speech to her and said how he can't believe that this is the only way, there must be another way. And then she said she would help. And that's where the whole process opened up for this book to be written. So what do you think about this? There is another way. So the one way, of course, is the one of conflict and judgment and so on. This other way, I think that's the one you're trying to describe in all the things you're saying about choosing to see each other, choosing to listen to your own inner voice and understandings, and standing up for who you are and what is good for you. Right, I think you're speaking about there is another way. And so how would you put that other way into a few words or into an example so that we can go deeper in it together, because we're walking each other home?
I think I have learned so much from my own children, because I saw that this child is so, that other one is so, and again, different and different. There are four of them. And it has, and I think people in different lifestyles or whatever, one find out that one, the best way is to be flexible, to be open, to because there is really always, almost always the possibility, even if you are in the worst place, something occurs to you that there's another solution, that there's another way of you can do things. And it's, and that is probably a really important way that we all need to become more and more creative about the process of life, creating new ways. And that's in the material way as well as in the feeling way, in the thinking way, and so forth. it is so fascinating how a group of people can start out with a mess and come out with the most richest result. And I like also some very ways of finding solutions to things. And also the meditative ways for the feeling and thinking way. The real way is for finding technical solutions, other solutions, so that really we are getting a culture of construction, of building up. And of course, love is important because you want to be at peace. And this being flexible is so important in life. It's so amazing how people always discover, if I repair this or if I do this, it's me who did it and I love it. I was creative, even repairing just something, even making something at home different from out of my love of making beauty. Out of this, I am. This creative process is really has to be developed and developed and developed. And this is why we need also ways of for children and so forth, that they can be have a lot of freedom, but also examples and but that this is freedom in a way, to be flexible, to be constructive, to do their one's own. Because it is amazing when there is something that has to be done and there are five people, each of them has another solution. And what is the result is that we take the best, or we do a synthesis of the best, and it's so much better than we started with. And it's in love the same thing, you know. I mean, you with feelings of people when they say, well, this, but I would prefer that, this, oh, I have another idea, and so forth. And if you really exchange communication and working together is really one of the most rewarding things that one can do to have a better world.
Yeah, so the idea that there is a solution, it's a mindset, right? There always is a solution that is best for all, right? Is always helpful to everyone, right? And is for the best of all. So it's also this idea that everything for your well-being is available, and to discover that, right? To see that, because there's always blocks to seeing that, right? Like I was saying before, this allowing this guidance within to remove those blocks, right?
It is, we have seen it from people who are in the Holocaust, who were in a concentration camp. One of them developed a whole way of dealing with life.
Yeah, Viktor Frankl.
Viktor Frankl. And yeah. In a way,
I think the book is called Man's Search for Meaning or something like that.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say is, I don't know how I am going to be if I see that I am dying, that I work at it all the time and tell to myself, well, okay, I am doing as much as I can now, but there's one day I know, or if there's a catastrophe. You have to sort of be accepting certain things and do the best out of it. And it's not easy.
But we were saying, you were saying there is always another way. So even in the midst of whatever might come up, there always is another way, right? One which you can have a feeling about.
Yeah, it takes a lot of other thinking, other feeling. You have to be very adaptable, you know? This way of being flexible, adaptable. Because when you're struck with something, you know, you have to really be confident, you know, and it's very hard. At first, one is totally crushed. But then to have this feeling, well, I want to, things becoming better. I am so hopeful. And if you don't want, this is what people have to know. I don't want to take care of this. I won't want to take care of this. But there has to be a rest of will, you know, in everybody to really think, now I have to really switch. That's my last chance.
Yeah, in A Course in Miracles, it says you can only take so much pain, so much thing, and then there is the point where you will change your mind. One doesn't have to feel bad about not being able to at this point, right?
Right.
So if there's more devastation, more trouble that you need before you change your mind, it's fine. It's we all are allowed to go through that. But when the pain and the struggle has come to the point where we change our mind, then that turnaround will happen and does happen.
So everybody who lets things happen all the time without reacting has to know that they are going to be the one, the loser, you know?
Well, it's not in the sense that they're a loser, but in the sense that the day will come when you're able to make a stance, right? If you can't now, the day will come, and it's okay.
But
and yes, it is painful, right? Not to stand, to be there for yourself, right? Of course, like you said, right? And that is where you're losing. It's the guilt, because you feel bad that you haven't done anything about it. You blame others for having invaded your whatever, right? Being unfair or whatever. And A Course in Miracles, it even has this thing where it says, beware of the temptation to feel unfairly treated. And also, it also has other things where, do you want to be right or happy? So, yeah, in that sense, I think we can conclude today, right? Or do you want to add something?
Well, I wanted just to say that it is very unpleasant when things happen that you really feel they are not right. And if you imagine the consequences of it, you know, then you can maybe get out of it, you know, and not let go of what you don't want.
So I'd like to thank everyone for listening, for participating, for joining us, and joining us in this exploration of being human and walking each other home. Thank you so much.
We send you
our blessings and our love. And please choose to review the podcast, subscribe to it, and spread the word. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Monica, to have done this.
You're welcome, Mom.